Friends, a first grader asked his mother one time, "Where do I come from?" You love those questions when you're a parent, don't you? His mom began to squirm, and then she took some time to a deep breath and went into a detailed, explicit explanation of the reproductive organs, conception, and birth. After 30 minutes into the board discussion, the bored first grader said, "Oh, Jimmy comes from San Diego." The mother had a sinking feeling that she was answering the wrong questions. You know, it goes to show us that when we deal with things like life questions, like we've been doing in this message series, we want to make sure it's important that we know what the real question is that we're asking, isn't it? And this week and next week, we're going to be looking at two life questions that wrap up this series on life questions. This week, we're going to be asking the question, what's the point of life? Kind of like the song we just listened to. And then next, we're going to conclude next week with, how do I know God's will? Two questions that strongly connect to one another and connect so deeply to our lives. So let's pray and let's ask God to speak this morning to us as we get ready to look at the question, what's the point of life? Let's pray together. God, many of us have gone to great measures, kind of like the U2 song that we just heard. We've climbed mountains, we've scaled walls, we feel like we've gone to every measure and still haven't quite found what it is we're looking for. The answer is in you. And God, we just ask that as we look at the point of life, that you would speak to our hearts today, that they'd be wide open to receive, that we hear exactly what you need to say to us. Individually in our seats, God, we ask you to communicate to us each exactly where we need to hear from you today. And we also ask that you connect to us as a body, that we hear from you, that we leave here knowing we've encountered Jesus. Lead us, Lord. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 24, "How can anyone discover what life means? It is too deep for us, too hard to understand." Solomon knew, friends, that it's important for us to know the meaning of life, because when we don't understand it, it causes all kinds of negative things to our lives, effects to our lives. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, Solomon says that there are five results that happen in our lives when we don't know what the point of life is. Five different things that happen. First, he says this. This is what happens when you don't know the point of life. Life seems meaningless. It seems meaningless. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1, the second part of verse 2, and he says different places in Ecclesiastes, the same thing. He says, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. And he goes on to essentially say in verses 3 through 4 that you spend your life working, and what do you have to show for it? You make all the best efforts in life, and what's the use? The world stays the same. It's empty. The promise of every political candidate, I'll change things, I'll make them different, I'll make them better. And 4 years later, there's another candidate promising the exact same things. The second result of not knowing the point of life, Solomon says, is this: life seems tiresome. Oh, so tiresome. When we don't know the point of life, we begin to feel like we're just spinning our wheels, running in circles. And Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 1:5, the sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. He goes on to essentially say the big ball we know of is this earth. This world just keeps on turning and turning and turning. Summer comes and summer goes. We just get the Christmas tree taken down, and then September, October rolls around again, and the stores are already filled with Christmas decorations. Solomon's saying that we just go in circles, and it seems so tiresome. Everything leads to weariness. The third thing he says when you don't know the point of life is that life seems unfulfilling. Solomon sounds like the old Rolling Stones song, doesn't he? I can't get no satisfaction. That's what he sounds like. He says in chapter 1, verse 8, everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. I can't get no satisfaction. Friends, without knowing the point of life, people get restless. They're not content. If you haven't realized how restless people are, then you know what? Put somebody in front of a TV and give them a remote control, and you'll see just how restless they are. Solomon says history repeats itself. There's nothing new. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. I'm bored. It's meaningless, tiresome, and it's unfulfilling. And fourth, he says this, life seems insignificant when you don't know the point of life. Life seems insignificant when you don't know the purpose of it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 11, it says, we don't remember what happened in the past, and the future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. There's no surety in life. Fame is fleeting. You ever walk across a college campus and you see where people have tried to kind of buy some significance in their life with what they've achieved, and they'll spend big bucks to help build a building and put a plaque on it with their name on it? You ever see that? Most of you have walked a college campus and you've seen those buildings with names on it. Did it matter to you? No. Who cares? Life just seems insignificant when you don't know the purpose. Fifth, life seems uncontrollable when you don't know what the point of life is. In Ecclesiastes 1:15, it says you can't straighten out what is crooked. You can't count things that aren't there. Have you ever tried to straighten out a metal coat hanger? Ever tried to straighten out a paper clip? You can't get them completely straight, can you? Have you ever tried to straighten out a relationship that's gone crooked? Or a problem that you can't figure out, or a person or a circumstance that's gone crooked? It's close to impossible to get all the bends out. Solomon says that without the point of life, we'll all come to the point that we say, life is uncontrollable. There are some things in life that no matter how hard you try, you can't fix it. So then Solomon goes on to conclude in Ecclesiastes 1:14, of those who don't know the purpose, the point of life, he says this, I have seen all the things that are done under the sun, all of them are meaningless. A chasing after the wind. A chasing after the wind. Listen, when you don't know the point of life, you basically have three options. The first option is this. If you don't know the point of life, we can try to make up a meaning, right? That's one option. You can try to make up a meaning. A lot of people do this. We were made with a God-shaped void, friends, in our lives. We're going to hear more about that in a couple weeks. But we're made with this God-shaped void, and if we've not found the purpose to fill that void, we'll keep trying to fill that void with something else, with relationships or work or sports, hobbies, home decorating, child-rearing, substances, you name it. But it's like you're trying to fill a square hole with a round peg, and it always leaves gaps of emptiness. The second option, you can try to make up your purpose. The second option is this, just escape. Don't worry about the meaning of life, but just escape life in general. If life has no meaning, then maybe we can find a way to check out. We may use the internet or TV or movies, books, studies, food, substances, clubs, work, or hobbies. If we can just escape a life that seems meaningless, then maybe it won't hurt so badly. Have you ever known someone that jumps from cause to cause or trend to trend, from the next thing to the next thing? When life seems meaningless and you just want to escape, you might go from one fad to the next one, all in an attempt to fill the gap that's ever widening in our heart. No, friends, making up a meaning or just trying to escape, those aren't good options. There are options you can take, but they're just not good options. They don't work. There's only one good option for knowing the point of life, and it's this. Discover what the real meaning of life is. Discover what the real meaning of life is. And fortunately, God's not left us hanging out on this matter. He tells us that we have meaning in life and what meaning in life is. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, hear what it says. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Friends, hear this. You were on God's mind before he ever even created this world that you're sitting in. You were on his mind before he even made the world we live in. That's huge. Did you know that you were that significant to God? Did you know it? What's the point of life? What was God's purpose in creating this world and in creating you and me? You were made, friends, to be loved by God. You were made to be loved by God. It says that he is love, and out of him comes all of love. He created us simply to love us. It doesn't say that he just has love, but he is love. He's the epitome of everything that love is, and he wants to love you and me. You were created to be loved by God. Now, that point of life should motivate us to want to love God back. Yet you know what? His love for us isn't contingent on whether we love him back or not. You see, he loves us, period. There's nothing you can ever do to make him love you more. Nothing you can ever do to make him love you less. He loves you, period. But living into that purpose only comes fully when we devote our lives to loving God in return. God's love for us isn't the only point of our life. This verse goes on to say, God decided to adopt us into his own family. You were made. Your purpose in life is to be a part of God's family. Ephesians spells out that purpose even further. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, and this is the plan. This is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Friends, we're not just spinning our wheels here. History is moving toward an appointed destination. You and I personally are heading toward an appointed destiny, to an appointed destiny. Life isn't a cycle of just round and round you go, where you stop, nobody knows. There's a beginning and there's a point of destiny. There's eternity on the other side. Let me summarize the point of life that we have so far. God has made you to love you, and that ought to lead us to love him back. He wants you to be a part of his family, and his family, we're going to live with him forever and ever in his authority in Christ when we're in that family. So how do we live life? Like we talked about a couple weeks ago, we live it in preparation for that eternity. You know, it's an understatement to say that God's got long-range plan for your life. It's not for the 60, 70, 80 or more years that you live here, but it's the forever and ever and ever and ever. We're made to last forever. And this short time on this earth is nothing more than, friends, the starting point. For instance, take this tape measure here. Let's say that an inch, women say 2 inches. Let's say 2 inches of that tape measure represents your life on this earth. 2 inches, right? But you know what? This tape measure goes on and on and on and on. And as far as your life goes, continues to go further and further and further out. You're back here right now in the 2 inches. The 2 inches that you're experiencing right here, but you've got forever and eternity yet to go. Friends, life is much more than what you experience and what's going on here on this earth. Life on earth is no more than preparation, friends. Preparations for eternity. It's the prep school. It's dress rehearsal for eternity. Life is the trial run. The point is that it's not just here and now that matters. I've said it before. We need to have an eternal perspective. Not just the perspective that we have in this little box that we call life right now. We use this life to prepare for the rest of eternity. How do we do that? Well, we're going to spend the rest of our time today looking at a few of the things that God wants us to do in life that spells out our purpose in life, okay? That's what we'll spend the rest of our time preparing for eternity. Here's the first thing. To spell out our purpose, we need to do is we need to get to know God. If you want to spell out what your purpose is in this life and into eternity, friends, you got to get to know God. And if you've not done so already, the first step to establish that, to get to know God, is establishing a relationship with God. And we do that the same way we would do with anybody else. To have a relationship with someone, it involves knowing the person, doesn't it? And trusting the person, sharing with the person, enjoying the person, listening to, spending time with that person. You communicate with that person. You know, you do the same thing to establish a relationship with God. You spend time with him. You talk to him. You listen through the word, the Bible. You listen to him. God wants us to have a relationship with him. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Children of God. The difference between someone who has a relationship with God as one inside the family and one who's on the outside of the family looking in is receiving Jesus Christ into your life. That's what makes the difference. Have you ever seen those movies, maybe on the Hallmark Channel? Or maybe in the theaters where there's an orphan child who establishes a relationship with a family, and it's like they're looking inside the window from the outside, looking into the living room. It's like they're watching the family interact and longing for something like that. They know who the family is. The family might care for them, but they don't know what it is to be in the family. That's like someone who's looking in on God's family, wanting a more intimate connection with God, but not really being one of the children in the family. Maybe that's how some of you feel this morning. I mean, you're here. You're even interested in a relationship with God, what that's all about, but you've not crossed the threshold into a relationship with God, and it feels almost like you're from the outside looking in. Listen, once we receive Jesus Christ for ourselves, when you receive him into your heart and his forgiveness, you know what? You're adopted in. We become children of God. We have a relationship with him that can grow and grow and grow and grow. And if you've not done so already, accept and embrace what Jesus has done for you on the cross. Accept the forgiveness for your sins, and your relationship with God will start, and it will change you from an observer of the family to one of the family. God wants more than anything for us to know him and to have a vibrant relationship with him. And once you've crossed that threshold from an orphan to an adopted child of God, the rest of the existence that you have on this earth is an adventure of getting to know your adopted father through Jesus Christ, his son, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But listen, here's the truth, friends. There are a lot of family members who don't do the work to put forth the effort to really get to know one another, aren't there? Have you seen families like that, right? Where it seems like they're in the very same family, but they don't really even know each other. Once you've begun a relationship with someone who's important to you, you're going to have to spend time with that person to really get to know them. And the same is true in your relationship with Jesus. You know, our life question today, what's the point of life, isn't just for those who don't yet know Jesus. It's a question for many people who call themselves Christians who also are asking the question. And part of the reason that many are asking this question is maybe they can talk about the point where they crossed over, where they became part of the family, where they were no longer an orphan, they joined the family, but they've come to Jesus, but then it just kind of stopped there. It kind of stopped with asking Jesus into their life, but they've never invested much at all in really getting to know God. If you want to know the purpose in their life, you know what? You've got to dive deep with getting to know God. And you know what? One really great ways to do that, and one of the best ways you can do that right now in the life of this church, is to by plugging into one of these life groups that we're starting. Where there are other people who are striving to get to know Jesus. You see, at Old Fort Church, we believe that small groups, and we call them life groups here, but we believe that those life groups are the ultimate place for you to grow spiritually. Not Sunday mornings when you're hearing a sermon, not even necessarily in your own Bible time at home, but being in life with other Christians who want to get to know Christ, doing that in life together is the ultimate place for you to grow spiritually. The life groups that are beginning in October, October that will be centered around the message series called Identity and a book called Identity that we will go through. It is a superb place for you to get started and really getting to know God and being in a life group with others. Here's the second thing that spells out our purpose in life. The first is getting to know God. Here's the second. Become like Jesus. Become like Jesus. Once you're in the family, God wants you to spend the rest of your life developing the family characteristics. Life's a school of character development. God wants to use everything that happens in your life to build your character for eternity. Honesty, integrity, thankfulness, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, faith, meekness. God wants to build your character in your life. He wants to make us like Jesus with the character of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says, "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Friends, we're adopted into the family as brothers and sisters of Christ to become like Jesus. To become like Jesus. But how does that happen? How do we do that? Well, I want to take us old school a bit. Take us way back a minute here, friends. There was a book written by Charles Sheldon, first published in 1896, titled In His Steps. Maybe some of you have heard of that book. Maybe some of you have even read that book. It's become a Christian classic, and get this, it's sold over 30 million copies since it was first published. In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. What's the book about? Friends, it's a novel that tells the story of a small church pastor who challenges his congregation to make the commitment to not do anything without first asking the question, what would Jesus do? And then responding the way they believe that Jesus would respond. And then the rest of that book is about a small group from that church that takes that challenge, and then it shows how their lives are radically changed. The phrase, what would Jesus do, and the abbreviation, maybe you've seen WWJD. You know what? They've come and they've gone over the years through many different Christians, using them in different ways, almost like a fad that comes and goes. But listen here, friends, it is the answer for you and for me. It started in a book in 1896, what would Jesus do? Do you want to become like Jesus? Then do what Jesus does. Love like Jesus loves. Forgive like Jesus forgives. Sacrifice like Jesus sacrifices. Serve like Jesus serves. Encourage like Jesus encourages. And how do we know how Jesus does all of those things so that we can do them? Back up a step to getting to know God. Because the more that you get to know him, the more you know how he would respond, and the more that you will walk in his steps. Here's the third thing to spell out your purpose. Practice serving. Practice serving. Do you know, I'm just going to throw out a statistic here. Do you know that in most churches, 80% of the work in the church is done by 20% of the people? Do you know that? 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. You know, we're not just going to go to heaven someday and sit back in a lawn chair and sip lemonade. We're also not just going to go there and have this never-ending church service. And some of you are giving a big sigh of relief right now because the last thing you want is a never, I don't want a never-ending church service. We're also not going to sit up there and play harp all day. God has things for you to do in eternity. We have a role and tasks to play, and it will be perfectly suited for us, and we'll find great joy in doing it. And while we're on earth, we can prepare for that service in heaven by practicing it in the here and now. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." God's planned your service a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away right now. God's planned your service a long time ago. And if you're not serving him in some way, you know what? You're missing the point of life. You're missing the point of life. God's given you talents and abilities, and he wants you to develop them. That's where you'll experience real meaning in life. You want to find people experiencing real meaning, look to that 20% that's doing 80% of the work in the church because they find meaning in serving God. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. The person who holds on to his or her life, who tries to live it just for his or herself, is the person who's unsatisfied, unfulfilled, finds no meaning in life, is bored, doesn't find the true point of their existence, and he or she loses their life in the end. But the person who gives their life away, who's willing to give it up here and now for eternal rewards, will even now in this life find true life with enjoyment and meaning. This person really knows how to enjoy life. There's a term for living in just the here and now. It's the word secularism. Secularism. Secularism comes from the Latin word seculum, meaning the here and now. And friends, that's exactly the kind of world that we now live in. We're becoming, in many ways, have already become a secularized society. But if we give in to the way of the secular world, living into just the here and now, what are we going to do when the here and now later becomes the then and was, and we still end up feeling empty with an unclear vision of what our purpose in life is? You've heard the phrase, it doesn't get any better than this, haven't you? You do know that phrase is wrong, don't you? It's dead wrong. That's the cadence call of the secular society, but it's dead wrong. It does get better than this. It does get better, much, much better. As you find your place in serving God and you practice that today and continue to practice that into eternity, it doesn't get any better than that. Finally, we spell out our purpose in life this way, by sharing life's purpose with other people. Friends, we got to share Jesus with other people. You'll never find greater purpose in your life, I promise you, than sharing Jesus, sharing the purpose of life with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:19, it says, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting sins against them. He gave us the wonderful message of reconciliation. Have you ever wondered why God leaves us here on this earth after we come to Christ? You ever thought about that? I mean, why doesn't he just take us home to heaven right away? Why do we have to deal with all the things in this world? That was one of the questions that the early believers asked. When is Jesus going to return? How long do we have to wait? They wanted to go home to heaven right away. God doesn't just take us home as believers, friends, because you know what? He's got a job for us to do here. He wants us to share the good news of Jesus with others, to have a ministry of reconciling others back into a relationship with God. What's the purpose of life? Telling others about Jesus. That's the purpose. Do you realize that this is the only one of these purposes we're talking about this morning that you can only do here on earth that you won't be able to do in heaven? We'll continue to grow to know God in heaven. We'll become like Jesus more and more in heaven. We'll continue to serve in heaven. But telling others about Jesus is the only purpose that you can only do right now while you're on this earth. Once we leave this earth, we no longer reach out to others who haven't received Jesus yet. That should be a real sense of urgency for us to share Jesus with others right now. The word that's used for sharing Jesus is evangelism. That's the big word for it. We find that word in our fivefold purpose that we use as a church here that highlights our purpose of what we're called to be and do as a church. The acronym FEAST, Fellowship, Evangelism, Adoration, Servanthood, and Teaching. Evangelism is the only of those five things of our purpose, friends, that you can only do while you're here on earth. When you leave this planet, that job is done. You'll have no more opportunity. So one of the biggest purposes of our lives is to live into sharing Jesus today. This area of evangelism, of telling others, is a really challenging area for the church. But friends, any church, listen to me, any church that stops sharing Jesus, that loses its bearing and focus on this critical purpose, ceases being the church of Jesus Christ. Any church that stops leading people to Jesus and telling about people about Jesus is not a church. It's a social club. It's a gathering place. It might have some great focuses and purposes and causes, but it's not the church, because the church tells people about Jesus. In our personal lives and in our life as a church, we've got to become clear on our point of life, on this point of life, and come to share with others, bringing others to Jesus. We've got to get a grip on the sense of urgency that we have here for others to know Jesus before it's too late. We need to be willing to take the risks to really reach out to others. As a church family, friends, I believe that God is calling us in the next 2 weeks to prayer and to invitation. To prayer and to invitation to contemplate who it is that we need to be inviting to this grand opening on Sunday, October 2nd. This new facility that we're enjoying is a tool of bringing people to Jesus. And this day, this grand opening day, will be that same kind of tool as well. Why do a grand opening now? Why at this point? We've been here since Easter. Well, actually, you know what? We're not even done around here yet. The interior team is still doing work on some of the decorative things here. Outside, they've been working like crazy. Isn't it amazing what's happened to the outside with the land looking so incredible? And now they're going to have grass growing there soon, and all the stone and the parking lot, and they're still working. There's a lot still happening, but friends, enough is completed, and it's just time. It's time for us to give a grand invitation to those in our lives, our community, and our region, because part of the purpose of our life is sharing Jesus with others. And this is the invitation that we need to give to our community, our region, to do just that. Who do you know that might need Jesus? Who's out there who's asking the question, what's the point of life? Who's asking it that you need to be praying for, that you need to invite? You can tell them you will be welcome here when you come. You can tell them it's all new and it's a great opportunity for a new and a fresh start for anyone new who walks in these doors. You can tell them that you'll meet them here. You'll even sit with them. You'll pick them up and bring them if that helps. Tell them that they won't be the only new person on that day, so they won't have to feel out of place. Tell them that they won't be pressured in any way. Tell them that you believe that they might just find something that might make their life a little bit brighter and maybe even a little more purposeful. And maybe you'll even be able to have the opportunity to tell them about the purpose that Jesus has brought to your life. Those are only a few ideas. You don't have to invite in that way. You can go about it differently if you feel led to do so. But here's the key, friends. Pray and invite. Pray and invite. Not just some of us, friends, all of us. Pray and invite. There are people in your life that need an invitation. Might they not come? Maybe they won't. Do they need an invitation? You better believe that they do. Pick up some of the invitation tickets as you leave today. We have a bunch of tickets. Take as many as you need. We'll print more. Take them, pray about it, and give them to people that you can invite to be here for that grand opening day. So friends, we conclude where we started with today's life question, what's the point of life? And the answer can be summarized in brief. God first made you to love you, so love him back. He wants you to be part of his family. And as his family, we're going to live with him forever and ever and ever under the authority, forever and ever under the authority of Christ. So we need to live beyond the here and now, getting to know him, becoming like him, practicing serving, and sharing life's purpose, sharing Jesus with others. Let's pray together. Dear God, I believe that there are probably some people right here in this room who this has been the question that's been plaguing them the most lately is, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of all this? I am in a silly cycle where I just keep going through the same things over and over. I'm tired of punching a time clock and just going home and getting up tomorrow and punching it again. I'm tired of the same routine. I'm getting older, I can see it, and life just feels like it's just a cycle, and there's no real meaning or purpose. God, what am I missing here in this life? And God, the answer is really clear. You made us to love us. And if we don't love you back, if we don't get to know you, if we don't find our place to serve you, if we don't share about you with others, if we don't do those things, Lord, we don't understand our full purpose in life. You made us to love you back, and as we love you more and more and walk with you more and more and become more and more like Jesus in our steps, we find the most purpose in this life. That leads us into our purpose of eternity. And God, there may be some who are standing at the door. They've been looking through the window. They've been peering through the window and seeing kind of what's going on with some godly-like people, or maybe what's going on in this church or other places, or peering in trying to see who you really are, God, but they've never crossed the threshold to walk into the family. And today's their threshold day. Today is the day that you're ready. I want to be a part of the family, adopted in. I want to come to know this Jesus who loves me. And the simple step across the threshold is just to come before God. You can do it today and simply say, God, here I am. I've been on my own, out of the family. Today I'm coming in. So God, forgive me of all my sins, of my mess ups and my failings and my screw ups in this life. Forgive me. I receive and embrace your forgiveness for me today for what you did for me on the cross. I'm stepping in. Come into my life today, Jesus, and fill me and lead me from this day forward, that I can really begin to get to know you and know my purpose in this life. Friends, I promise you, if that's your heart and you pray a prayer like that to God today, Jesus will come in. And you've just become a part of the family of God. And if you dive in to get to know who Jesus is, your life will never be the same. There are others of us, we've crossed that threshold a long time ago, but we just have not come to know Jesus. We haven't done anything with it. And today's the day to walk out of this room and to sign up for a life group, to plug in somewhere where I'm going to get to know this God that I say I love. It will change your life. God, we love you. Thank you that you loved us first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, it's so good. And if you know that, then you know that there are others in your life that need to know that too. Who needs a lift of God's love? Those are the people that you want to invite. So go out, pray about it, invite, and we're just going to keep doing what we do and keep worshiping God here, and we'll let God do the work that he wants to do. Amen? Amen.